You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Concerns have been raised about the ethics of crossbreeding animals due to the negative implications that can arise through these breeding practices, following the popularity of a Sphinx and Munchkin cat hybrid overseas called the XL Bully Cat. News and Editorial Director Joel spoke to Associate Professor in the Faculty of Law at the University of Auckland, Marcelo Rodriguez Ferreira, about the ethics of crossbreeding and how lax New Zealand regulations are about the practice.
Over the past decade or so, we have seen a rise in the popularity of crossbreeding in animals, such as the XL Bully Cat, which is a mix of a Sphinx cat, which is a hairless breed, and a Munchkin cat, which has short, stubby legs. However, there are concerns about how crossbreeding can affect the well-being of the animal. What negative effects can we see with crossbreeding?
Oh, many negative effects. We see with the XL Bully Cat specifically the inability to regulate their body temperature in an effective way. So cats, unless they are a Sphinx cat and in particular sort of conditions, really do need their coat to ensure that they can regulate their own body temperature effectively. And so what you find with these sorts of cats is that they just don't have the capacity to ensure that they are warm enough in cool conditions. And then you mix that with sort of their legs and you get into some sort of really dangerous territory of orthopedic problems. I mean, all we need to look at is some of the odd-looking dogs that we have, particular breeds of dogs, French bulldogs, your Dachshunds and that sort of thing, that have long-term health problems, not because they are, born with that, but because of the genetics that they have and just the particular sort of issues that they've got within their physiology.
We've mentioned cats and dogs. Is crossbreeding something that more domesticated animals are being more inclined to? Or are we seeing other animals being crossbred as well?
Yeah, so actually within New Zealand, if we looked at selective breeding or designer breeding or genetic modification of animals and that sort of thing, our first port of call should be within the agricultural industry. We've been selective breeding in this country for many, many years within both dairy and beef and lamb. So, for example, in 1970, we had ewes that would give around sort of one or two lambs per birth, and that has gone up significantly. They now have 124 lambs for sort of every live births versus one-to-one back in the day. And that is entirely the result of selective breeding practices and sort of research by Crown organisations like Ag Research, amongst others. The same with sort of hens, for example. Layer hens back in the day would give, around sort of 120 eggs or so per cycle. Per year, rather, and that has gone from 130 in 1975 to 312 just a few years ago, and that's gone up even more in recent years. And that, again, is not because hens are suddenly getting better at laying. It's because that they were selectively bred to ensure high rates of productivity. So selective breeding within industry and within the agricultural sector in New Zealand is pretty common, and it's all about creating a more efficient and more productive unit with an animal. And where we see companion animals selectively bred for particular traits, it's really not too different. It's a matter of degree rather than kind. Because we see animals as commodities and because they are legally property within the law, and, within particular limits, we can do whatever we want with them. They become, as I say, a commodity, and particular sort of traits are sought after from particular people in particular markets, and they're bred accordingly. So just in the same way as that we selectively breed sheep to have higher productivity, more wool, and, better grazing and higher sort of live births, we selectively breed French bulldogs to ensure that they look the way that we like, or the bully XL cat for some inexplicable reason because they're viewed as desirable. So that was a long answer to a very short question, but it gets to the heart of the commodification of animals, and it's simply a symptom of that.
I mean, you pretty much just touched on my next question, which is I was going to ask, how prolific is the crossbreeding industry here? Mm. I'm going to change that a little bit. How prolific is the crossbreeding industry here, maybe compared to what we're seeing in other countries? Obviously, New Zealand has a large dairy industry going on. Are we seeing similar patterns overseas as well, or
Yeah, so within agriculture, New Zealand's a world leader in many ways of sort of engaging in agricultural research to create sort of more productive animals suited for New Zealand conditions. And, you know, once we accept sort of agricultural animals and using them within agriculture is fine, you know, there's really sort of no ideological sort of problem with the particular selective breeding that's going on. And in many ways, it's a much more regulated industry than we see within companion animals. Because when you engage in the level of genetic research and crossbreeding research that agricultural industries do, that's regulated by a particular regime within our Animal Welfare Act governing sort of scientific research involving animals. So that's, to a certain extent, fairly well regulated. When it comes to sort of companion animals, though, New Zealand's ones are sort of taking trends from around the world. And so we have, it's tricky to sort of import animals within this country. But when we see, I don't know, this is probably a really dated reference, so I do apologise for this. When you see Paris Hilton carrying a chihuahua in a handbag, then suddenly there's going to be a certain segment of the New Zealand population, small but pretty significant all the same, that are suddenly going to want a chihuahua. And because it's going to be difficult to sort of get chihuahuas from abroad, that will fuel a domestic breeding market. And, you know, that's why we see, it's long happened with dogs, but we see a very, very active and very, very lucrative underground market for particular breeds of dogs within this country. And it's completely unregulated. And while many breeders are upstanding and fine individuals, many are not. And the conditions that some of the breeding facilities create, because there's no regulation, can create some really problematic scenarios for the dogs and the puppies that are in it. Now, cats are, it's relatively more recent, I think, that New Zealand has sort of jumped on the bandwagon when it comes to particular cats. But again, they've long existed. That's why we have the Burman and Persian, and we have the Sphinx and the Rex and all sorts of these types of cats that are different than your just general sort of tabby domestic short hair. So we tend to sort of follow worldwide trends on this. But because we're a small market and because perhaps of the sort of agricultural impact and the difficulty in sort of separating the selective breeding of agricultural animals with companion animals, we see very little regulation within the companion animal sector on this.
And what are these concerns with how lax New Zealand's regulations are regarding companion animals and the regulations regarding crossbreeding?
So there's nothing preventing the selective breeding of any animal. There's no law against the breeding, so long as the actual act of breeding, and obviously that occurs in different scenarios and different animals, but so long as that is within the law and isn't causing an animal any sort of unreasonable or unnecessary pain and distress, the actual existence of an animal that has lifelong health problems because it's got short legs or no hair if it's one of these bully XL cats, there's nothing that is legally problematic about that animal being brought into existence. The law only sort of regulates the care and welfare of animals. So if you own or have an animal in your charge, you have certain obligations to ensure that their physical health and behavioural needs are met. But if, for example, that animal happens to be a bully XL cat, there's no sort of legal argument that says, well, you have created this animal that has these lifelong problems and a pretty sort of miserable existence, and therefore there should be some sort of legal repercussions and maybe we'll euthanise the animal or something like that. There's nothing that requires or regulates that. And because that's the case, because there's no restrictions on the types of animals that can be selectively bred and the sort of the animals that would come out of that process, there's basically nothing stopping the industry creating those animals and feeding that sort of market demand. So again, sorry, long answer to a short question, but yeah, there are some big problems when we say you can do whatever you want with these animals and create these designer breeds, for example, with no repercussions. And the animal that comes out in that process is a living, breathing, sentient animal with dignity. and yet we're sort of treating it as like a handbag or the latest sort of gadget rather than what it is, which is a an animal that deserves significantly more consideration than that.
And what regulations would you like to see regarding the crossbreeding industry here in Aotearoa?
Yeah, so I think that you could start to regulate the breeding industry from the get-go. We don't regulate breeding within this country. You have some sort of private controls on this, so the kennel clubs and Kennel Association New Zealand sort of pretty sort of strictly regulate what kind of breeds of dog, for example, are considered legitimate and lineage and so forth. But in terms of sort of just churning out, a lot of Jack Russell puppies, let alone a Bully XL cat or something like that, there's nothing preventing someone from suddenly becoming a cat or a dog breeder overnight. And that's a problem because these sought after breeds of dog or cat, they fetch a pretty penny. Sort of your standard sort of Jack Russell puppy is presently going for around $1,500 a puppy, which is a lot of money, and a much more sought after breed and a much rarer breed can go up for several orders of magnitude higher than that. And because those are financial incentives that people respond to, you can get situations where breeding facilities can just be absolutely abhorrent and not meeting the requirements for the Act, and certainly causing a lot of pain and distress for the puppies and kittens involved. So at the very start, I would like to see a greater awareness and regulation of that industry. And I think then the selective breeding sort of controls that might come out of that would be part of such a regime. But we've got a massive blind spot in this country. Back in the day, a lot of people would just get their new cat or their new dog from the SPCA. And while that happens a lot, and is probably the majority of way folk actually sort of get a companion animal, the industry and the market for particular types of breeds and designer cats and dogs is very, very high and very, very underground within this country. So shining some light on that and regulating it would be my desire.
That was Associate Professor in the Faculty of Law at the University of Auckland, Marcelo Rodriguez Ferreira, on the ethics of crossbreeding animals and New Zealand's regulations regarding the practice.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.